announcements because he told the whole church how old his wife is. So if you see him with a lump on his head, you'll know why. It'll be the laying on of hands by his wife. Okay, we're going to get right into God's word this morning. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We'd love to have you follow along. Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. We've opened our Bibles. Step two, open our hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom still in America to gather together as Christians and to read your word and to study your word and to even share our faith when we leave this place. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that you would wrap your loving arms around them. We not only pray for them, but we pray for those that are coming against them for the salvation of their souls. You tell us to love our enemies, and we're going to do that. We're going to pray for them. And we beg you for a miracle. At the same time, we can see prophecy being fulfilled. We need to be ready. We need to be watching and waiting and witnessing and working and be about your business. Should the trump of God sound, or should you take us home through death's door? Help us to be ready. Fill us with your love and your grace and your mercy everywhere we go, Lord, like never before. And so we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your incredible word. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis 19. Pretty timely, would you say? That's why God led us to Genesis. Everything we've seen thus far has been very, very timely. Creation. God created the heavens and the earth. No evolution. I'm not a monkey's uncle. We saw that he created them male and female, period. We saw marriage, a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. And now we are going to see here in chapter 19 what God says about sodomy, homosexuality. I'm not up here to hammer the homosexual. I am up here to share the truth in love because I love them and I want to see them in heaven. But in order for any of us to be in heaven, we need to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we need to be forgiven for all of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. A reminder before we get into Genesis 19. Another thing that blows me away, there's a lot of churches in America today that are throwing out the Old Testament. Oh, we don't need that today. Old stuff. Are you kidding me? Shame on you, Pastor, if you don't teach the whole Bible. Genesis 1:1 to the maps in the back. We love God's word. We love God. And as I've shared many times, I will have to stand before the Lord one day and give an account for what I teach. James 3:1. Pastors will receive a stricter judgment for what they teach. And because I love my Lord and my Savior, I never, ever want to misrepresent him, especially when it comes to his word. Just a reminder, Bible 101. Hebrews 4:12, I'm sorry, Revelation 19:13. His name is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Proverbs 30:5, every word of God is pure. John 17:17, your word is truth. Every cross T, every dotted I, every word in this incredible book is truth. And God gives us his truth because he loves us and he wants to set us free. I'm also reminded of what Hebrews 4 says. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why we go through God's word here, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. It pierces even the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you tell me, is God's word important? One last scripture verse, pointing to the word of God, and then we'll get into God's word. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect. How many things can you name that are perfect? Folks, this is perfect. And as I've mentioned many times before, I'm just the mailman. I just deliver the mail. I don't have to apologize for what God says. I amen everything that God says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Why do we teach the word here? Because it's God's word that converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's word gives us wisdom. Simple in the original language means stupid. He gives his wisdom to stupid people. Maybe not you, but it certainly applies to me in my BC days. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When we read God's word, when we understand God's word, when we obey God's word, it rejoices our heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So that's why I'm giving you this introduction, because we need God's word in America like never before. Like never before. And so this morning in Genesis chapter 19, I'll get there in a moment. A little bit of an introduction. Last week in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham was sitting at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And when he looked up, he saw three men standing there. Immediately he recognized who they were. One of the three, as we saw further on in the chapter, well, actually in the first verse, was the Lord. And the other two were angels. They had good news, but they also had bad news. This book is filled with good news. Gospel means good news. This also has bad news for those who fail to recognize the author and to obey what God says in his word. The good news is that Sarah, his wife, who was well advanced in years, I love the terminology God uses, was going to have a son. Imagine that. In her 90s, going to have a son. The talk of the bridge club. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. God is a God of miracles, isn't he? We have a room full of miracles sitting here this morning. To me, the greatest miracle is the salvation of our souls, would you say? And that God would dwell in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. That is nothing short of miraculous. It gives me sheep bumps every time I talk about it. The bad news was that the two angels were heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah because the outcry against Sodom was very great and their sin was very grave. What was their sin? Blatant homosexuality. And again, I am not condemning or damning the homosexual, but God condemns the sin. We need to realize that and recognize that. God does not grade on a curve. Lying, cheating, fornication, the judgment is still the same as homosexuality because the wages of sin is death. That's what God's word says. And so the bad news is the angels came and they were headed towards Sodom, because the outcry was very great to the Lord. And when I read that, I wonder what type of an outcry is going from America to heaven right now. Look what we've done with God's rainbow. That is God's rainbow. It's around his throne in heaven and is not to be tampered with or defiled. Depravity leads to destruction. Abraham became very concerned. He knew something was going on. That the two angels were heading towards Sodom. Why? Because his nephew Lot just happened to live there. Abraham became very concerned and his nephew Lot lived there. It began when he was outside of the city. Then the next thing you know, he's living in the city. Lot, Peter tells us, was a believer. And it just shows what happens to many believers today. We start off getting close to sin, and the next thing you know, we're in the midst of it. We're consumed by it. We have to be very, very careful. Abraham was a friend of God, the Bible says, while his nephew Lot was a friend of the world. And there's a term used for Christians today called carnal or worldly. We have to be very, very careful in our walk with the Lord that we're not carnal or worldly, especially as close as we are to the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible very clearly says when Israel is surrounded by her enemies, Magog to the north and China, you know the story. Prophecy tells us about the third temple, and Bibi Netanyahu is talking about rebuilding that temple right now. They have the heifer. They have everything. It's all ready. I've seen the robes for the priests. I've seen all the artifacts that are going into the next temple. They're ready. Are you? Remember as a kid, hide and go seek? Ready or not, here I come. Hey, are you ready? Jesus Christ is coming soon. It's almost like they have this anxiety. We're so close to the return of the Lord. I'm excited, but yet at the same time, my heart is grieved for my country and a lot of the people that I know and that I love. Lot had at one time dwelt with Abraham, but he began to walk by sight. When a conflict broke out between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants, Lot lifted up his eyes to the well-watered land. He walked in the flesh. He thought, oh, look at this place. Check it out. Next thing you know, he's inside. Next, we found out Lot had his tent near Sodom. And finally, he's in Sodom. And Abraham knew, according to chapter 13, verse 13, that the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Wickedness and sin is against the Lord. And so in the second half of chapter 18 last week, Abraham asked the Lord, hey, if there's 50 righteous within the city, would you destroy it? And Abraham went to 45, then 40, then 30, then 20. And lastly, he asked, if there's 10 righteous in the city, would you destroy it? And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. But as we know, if you've read this chapter before, there weren't even 10 righteous in Sodom at that particular time. Here this morning in verse 1 of chapter 19, when the two angels arrive in Sodom in the evening, guess who the first person is that they meet sitting at the gates in Sodom? None other than Lot himself. Check it out. Now the two angels, verse 1, came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly. So they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. And so notice what we see here in the first three verses. It's pretty evident here that Lot was very much aware of the light that was coming into the darkness of Sodom. He knew who these two were. He bows down before them. He bows himself right to the ground. It wasn't something that he did very often. I believe that it was conviction that caused him after he serves them to get them to rise early and get on their way. He was trying to get them to move through the town before they saw what was going on. They wanted to spend the night in the open square. Can you imagine how dangerous that would have been for these two men, these two angels, which at night in Sodom would be a very dangerous place to stay? Why? Because isn't it amazing, even to this very day, how a lot of people really indulge in sin when it's dark outside. And Lot became, or because he knew that, He insists strongly here that they come and stay at his house, which will prove to be unsafe as well, as we'll see here in a moment. He calls himself a servant, and he makes them unleavened bread, yet of himself he was filled with the leaven of the world. Unleavened bread that he gave him, but his life was filled with leaven. Leaven is a picture of sin. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump, Scripture says. Notice what happens now, just before they lay down, verse 4. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, check that out. They made disciples. Both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, everybody. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally." Original language, that we may have sex with them. Man. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him. This blows me away. Look what he calls them. And said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so quickly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish." What? "Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This one," speaking of Lot, "came in to stay here or reside here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." And so they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men, the two angels, reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? Look what Lot was in the midst of. God's promise to Abraham was that he would spare Sodom if he found 10 believers there. It's pretty evident from our text here this morning that there were not even 10 believers in Sodom. The men, both young and old, and all the people, it says, from every quarter surrounded Lot's house. Man. And in verse 5, they called to Lot. Notice again what they said. And they called to Lot and said, "Where are the men whom came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." Bring them out so that we may have sex with them. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, folks, it condemns the sin of homosexuality. The Bible very clearly says that it is unnatural. The physical relationship between a husband and a wife is natural. It is a gift from God. Notice again, I said a husband and a wife in holy matrimony. Bring them out so we may have sex with them. And again, Old Testament, New Testament warns about homosexuality. And again, look at the acronym we have in America today that's all over our nation, all over our television. In our public schools now, our kids are being questioned about their gender. They're being taught it's okay to be a whatever, a tranny. I remember back in my day, a tranny was a four-speed I had on the floor in my Volkswagen. Transmission. Drag meant Irwindale Raceway, where they used to run the race cars. Last week, they had drag queens teaching in our public schools in the valley here again. And I'm not, again, being a homophobe. I'm being concerned about our children. Because the Bible very clearly says if anyone would cause any of these children to stumble, it would be better that they took a millstone and put it around their neck and were cast in the deepest part of the sea. That's what God says. It's a sin. But yet they call it LGBTQ. Lesbian. Bisexual. Gay, bisexual, transsexual, and queer. They even call themselves queer today. And look what's going on in our nation today. Again, am I a homophobe? No. I love the person, but just like my God, my Lord and Savior, it's a sin that will keep them from heaven, and the end result of this sin is the lake of fire. Fire and brimstone. Forever and ever and ever. Do you know that everybody gets eternal life? One place or the other. Smoking or non-smoking, your choice. Here in Genesis 19, we're going to see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be fire and brimstone. Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Leviticus 20:13. If a man lies with a man, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Romans 1:18-32. God gave them up to vile passions. Even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, burned in lust for one another. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Again, I'm just giving you what God says. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And you know what it says at the last verse of Romans chapter 1? You may not practice these things, but if you approve of them, you are just as guilty as those who practice them. Hello. There's no such thing as neutral today. We have to be very, very careful to stand on God's word. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Homosexuals and sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's very clear. Jude 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. Scripture very clearly says it's an example of what is to come. There is a heavy, heavy price to pay for sexual immorality, for a sexually immoral lifestyle. But like all other sinners, here's the good news. They can be saved. God sent his son into this world to die a brutal death on the cross to save their souls. They can be saved if he or she repents of their sin and turns to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There is deliverance from homosexuality as there is from any other form of sin. Jesus Christ loves them. Jesus Christ died a brutal death for them. A new life and a new heart is available to everyone who would believe. Everyone. If they repent and turn to him. So look what Lot does in verses 6 to 8. So Lot went out through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters." Are you kidding? "Who have not known a man. Please let me bring them to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." Wow. Look at Lot. He goes out, shuts the door behind him. He calls them brethren. Whoa. He offers them his daughters. Lot was desperate. He knew these two men were angels. They were holy, and he was doing all that he could carnally to try to save these two men, even offering up his daughters. It's going to take a miracle to save Lot and his daughters in this insanity, isn't it? And guess what? A miracle is about to happen. Let's see what happens in verse 9 to 11. And they said, stand back. And they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. And isn't that a popular term today? People think Christians are here to do nothing but judge. We are not here to judge anyone. Scripture very clearly says, judge not lest you be judged. We're to love people to life, not beat them to death. That doesn't mean we compromise. But speaking the truth in love is extremely important, isn't it? It happened to every one of us. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's goodness. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they became weary trying to find the door. Man. So look what happens here. Two angels have to pull Lot in bodily back into the house and shut the door. At the same time, they struck the men, both young and old. Yeah, older men, younger men. You see, as I mentioned earlier, how they're making disciples with perversion. But they struck both small and great with blindness. And they were going to deal worse with Lot than these two men. Meaning that if they hadn't pulled Lot in, he would have become a victim. So I'm not going to give you the dirty details, but I'll leave that one alone. Now in verses 12 to 14, the two men ask, have you anyone else here? And this is so sad. Look how Lot's carnal testimony stumbles his own son-in-laws. Look at verse 12 to 14. Then the men said to Lot, the two angels, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, sons, daughters, whomever you have in the city, to take them out of this place? For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And so Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And look at their response. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Wow. You see the testimony that carnal Christians have? Sometimes people think you're joking about God. Oh, come on now. You really believe all of this stuff in your religion? Lot tells them to get up, get out. The Lord's going to destroy the city. Yet, they thought he was joking. What a sad testimony this man had. You know what's really, really sad is they're going to perish in the fire and brimstone that's going to come upon the earth. I'm sure you feel the same way. One of my greatest desires, one of my most common prayers is, Lord, please don't let me ever stumble anybody when it comes to you. And let that begin with my wife and my kids and my grandkids. I don't ever, ever want to misrepresent the Lord. I want them to be in heaven one day forever and ever. Our spouses, our kids, our grandkids, even for some of you great-grandkids, need to see Christianity lived out. It's not just a religion, it's a relationship. And the Bible says, he or she that's in Christ is a new creation. All the old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. How much is all? All things. You don't continue on your same old carnal way. So let's see Lot's response to the angel's warning. Look at verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And look, and while he lingered, The men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside of the city. Whoa. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. And look at Lot's response. Then Lot said to them, please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you've increased your mercy, which you've shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city's near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he, the angel, said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing, also in that I have not overthrown this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I can do nothing until you have arrived there. Therefore, the name of the city was Zoar, which means insignificant. Unbelievable. Lot warns his son-in-laws, but yet he doesn't take heed to the warning himself. You need to get out. Get out right now. And as you recall, the first time that God had rescued Lot, he was a prisoner of war. You remember the story? Abraham had to get his 300 mighty men and go and rescue his nephew because he was involved in the sins of Sodom and they were taken captive. And what did Lot do after Abraham had rescued him? He went right back to Sodom. And you know what? That's sad today too. Many people today get saved and they go right back to, this is what the Bible says, the vomit. It's like a dog returning to its vomit. And what did Lot do? He returned to the vomit. How sad. He went right back to the same old lifestyle, lukewarm. Now this time they have to take Lot and his wife and daughters and drag them out by their hands as Lot lingers. If someone told you right now, we need to get out, would you linger? I got to go get a donut first. Donuts are holy, but are you? The hole right in the middle. Then he begged to be allowed to go his way. And again, look how many people today want their way instead of God's way. You've heard me share before, the number one song in hell will be, I Did It My Way. Instead of being grateful, they had to drag him out. Let me go into this little city, Zoar, which again means insignificant. Verse 23. The sun had risen upon the earth, and Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained fire, brimstone, and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. Look at this. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Whoa. I call her Mrs. Morton. Look how close it was from when Lot entered Zoar. And when the fire and brimstone came. I mean, just like that. What is really sad is that even though Lot's wife had physically left the city, her heart was still in Sodom and Gomorrah. God told them, don't look back. Don't look back. She had physically left the city, but her heart was still there. The Bible very clearly says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Where is your treasure this morning? In this world? Or are you storing up treasure in heaven? Everything we have on this earth, except for human souls, is temporal. We should be more concerned with the souls of men than we are material things. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy your car, your house, whatever it might be. Your MyPillow, or whatever you got going on. But keep a loose grip on all of these things. Why? Because judgment is coming. I'm not saying that just to be, you know, doom and gloom, fire and brimstone, but this is the truth of what God's Word says, and all the signs are there for the return of Jesus Christ and for the judgment to come upon this earth, and we need to be ready. Are you ready? And how sad it is that Mrs. Lot, could it have been partially because of the witness and testimony of her husband? I don't know. But her heart was still there. She fell under the judgment of God. Luke 17:32, Jesus speaking, red letters, he warns us, remember Lot's wife. And what he means by that is remember what she did while her heart was back in Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember Lot's wife and keep your eyes fixed on heaven. Meanwhile, back by the terebinth trees of Mamre, look at verse 27. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities and the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, which he had overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Wow. Look how God's mercy was extended towards Lot. We read earlier on when we began the story of Abraham and Lot that Abraham had an altar. He spent a lot of time worshiping the Lord and coming before the Lord to the altar, repenting of his sins and all, but we find no mention of Lot's altar. It's so important that we learn as believers how important intercessory prayer is. We need to intercede for other people. Intercede on behalf of others. I believe every one of us that's saved, somehow, one time or another, someone interceded for us. I know there had to be a ton of people interceding for this guy. But someone interceded. And intercessory prayer is really, really important. And we see a lesson of it here, even in the Old Testament, that Abraham interceded for Lot. He prayed and he asked the Lord, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, if there's even 10. And I wonder what Abraham thought when he saw the smoke and fire coming up out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Whew. But he will find that God spared Lot. Abraham continually prayed and interceded for Lot, and God mercifully saved Lot from the fiery destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we need to intercede for people, folks, as well, that they would be saved from the fire. The rainbow, of course, was God's covenant that he would never again destroy the earth by water, but the next judgment that comes will be fire and brimstone, and the end result is the lake of fire. So it's important, would you say, that we intercede for other people on their behalf? And as I've mentioned many times before, when you pray for somebody, God in his omnipresence is looking right at that person. Yeah. I think it's important that we pray for them on their behalf, no matter where they are on the planet. Pray for them. And again, notice the results of the Lord's judgment. The results of the Lord's visit to Abraham initially was the hope and excitement of he and Sarah, his wife, enjoying the anticipation of the birth of their son. But now look what happens. The first visit, of course, was joy. But now Lot, who had lost everything, including his wife, as Sodom is destroyed. And Lot was saved as yet by the fire. Do you know the Bible says that about lukewarm Christians? When we get to heaven, all of our deeds will be thrown into the fire, and those that are worthy of rewards, God will reward us for, and those that are in the flesh or carnal or for the wrong motive will be burnt up as in the fire. And there will be some believers that will be just saved as by the fire. They're going to smell like they were bought at a fire sale. How sad. Not that we do works for the Lord to be saved, but that we do works for the Lord because we're saved. And I've shared many times before, one of the best ways that we can thank the Lord is by doing things for Him and ministering to others and loving our neighbor and loving our enemies and giving someone a cold drink of water and clothing the naked, whatever it might be. We are to be servants of the Lord because Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. And Abraham was a servant. But Lot, he was saved as by the fire. Peter tells us that he was a believer. And Lot is a warning to many today. And again, I know, like I mentioned early on in my introduction, there's people say, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. I got news for you. There's a lot of people that look like Lot today in the church. We need to repent. Lot is a warning to the lukewarm, carnal, worldly believer. The Bible says, love not the world nor the things of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We have to be very, very careful. And the heartache isn't over yet. Notice verse 30 to 38. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. And he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. Wait a minute, didn't you ask to go there? You see what happens to a lukewarm Christian? You've heard me share again many times, faith and fear can't dwell in the same place. You are either a man and woman of faith, and if faith isn't in there, you're going to live in fear because faith pushes fear out. That's why we need to read God's Word, study God's Word, memorize God's Word, hold on to all of His promises. And it pushes that fear right out of our hearts. But notice how sad. He dwelt in a cave. What? He and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. And again, my sick sense of humor. When you're not walking with the Lord, life will cave in on you. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there's no man on earth to come into us as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Like I always say, who needs soap operas? Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus, both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. Whoa, man. Heavy chapter, would you say? You would not believe the spiritual warfare I went through having to deliver the mail on this one today. They're out of God's will. They thought they were the only ones left on the planet, so they took it upon themselves. Well, we need to repopulate. Did they pray? Did they go to the altar? It wasn't one. His two daughters take it upon themselves to preserve the family lineage. was not only that sin that Lot committed that was worthy of separation from God, but they got him drunk. That's another sin, the Bible says, that will keep you from heaven. 1 Corinthians, Galatians, do you not know that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God? That was me back in my BC days, full-blown alcoholic. And like I've said many, many, many different times, I found the best 12-step program ever. Step one, repent. Step two, repeat step one 11 times. It's not a disease, it's not a deficit, it's not a disorder, it is a sin. And God is able to deliver you from sin because, and again, I'm not boasting, I'm giving all glory, honor, and praise to God. I have not had one drop of alcohol in 42 years. And I haven't missed it because God replaced happy hour with joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You can't find that in a bottle. No, if you're looking for spirits, look for the Holy Spirit, not distilled spirits. They got Lot drunk, and they laid with Lot. Both conceive. They produce the Moabites and the Ammonites, who, by the way, will become enemies of Israel. Crazy. The Moabite women are going to seduce the men of Israel, causing them to commit sexual immorality. Good news is, there's a Moabitess by the name of Ruth. You know the story. She got saved by Naomi. And then she took upon herself, God brought her a husband called Boaz. And guess what? Ruth, a Moabitess, became the great-grandmother of King David. You see God's mercy, God's grace, God's love? The Ammonites, they will lead Israel into idolatry, worshiping Molech. You know who Molech was? This iron idol that they would heat up so hot that they would take infant babies and sacrifice the babies in the arms of this heated up Moloch and they would be consumed by the fire. Reminds me of abortion today, worshiping Moloch in America. As we close, we know from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, that Lot, it says, was a just man. Wow. But because of his worldliness, look at what he lost. He lost everything. He lost his testimony. And again, that should be our heart cry. Lord, don't ever let me lose my testimony. He lost his wife. He lost his son-in-laws. He lost his friends, his property, his possessions, his character, his life's work, and the depraved behavior of his daughters showed that they were influenced by the world. Depravity leads to destruction. Folks, we need to pray for our nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayers in heaven and I will forgive them for their sins. That is my prayer for America, that America would turn back to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Old Testament. There's a lot we can learn and a lot that we learned here today about Lot. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that our eyes will be open to the truths that we've seen here this morning. Be it homosexuality, be it drunkenness, be it worldliness, carnality, whatever it might be, Lord, may we take what we learn here today, may we hide it in our hearts, and may we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we are tempted, even as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 10:13, that with every temptation, you offer us a way of escape, and may we take the exit, Lord. Thank you for your precious word. I thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit at times when we read sections like this. It's a wake-up call, not only to us, but to this congregation, to this valley, to our nation, and to the whole world, how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ to judge the world. As we close, maybe there's somebody here this morning that's never given their life to Jesus Christ. If you would like to pray to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly and invite him into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Anyone, as we close. Again, Father, thank you for your precious word. Whew. Thank you for getting me through this chapter, Lord. And we do pray for those in our nation and throughout the world that are caught up in an unnatural sexual relationship. Lord, that through the Holy Spirit that you would draw them unto yourself and save these precious people that Jesus Christ died for. Deliver them from the sin of homosexuality, sodomy, would you please? Turn our nation around. I pray for our public schools, Lord, that all this filth, questioning their gender and all these things, drag queens and all this stuff, would be removed from our public schools, God. Have mercy upon our souls, would you please? May we be people that pray without ceasing. We need to pray like never before. Help us to do that. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the worship this morning. And thank you for the fellowship as we close now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.